Okay, so I'm going to talk today about a study we did looking at the link between perception and production, and that's with facial expressions. It's a perceptual learning study, and in particular what we did was we looked at whether motor training and training motor control would improve the recognition of facial expressions when presented with them visually. Okay, so this stemmed from an intervention study. It's a much larger study. It's a collaboration with many members of TDLC that emerged from the first all-hands meeting many years ago. And so Bob Schultz, Jim Tanaka, and now John Harrington, and Leanne Trukoski are also involved. And Piotr Winkelmann has also continues to be a major contributor to this project. And the idea was to use the automatic facial expression recognition system that Javier and I and Gwen developed in our lab in order to bring facial movement into the face intervention program that Jim and Bob had developed that was largely facial identity perception and static interventions at that time. This work attempts to address findings that that children with autism are impaired in both their facial expression perception and production. The expression perception studies actually show that that kids with autism can actually recognize static, canonical facial expressions fairly well. Often they look like typical kids when given that kind of stimulus, but when given a stimulus that's dynamic, and particularly low intensity and dynamic, then you see big differences. And so that's important because when interacting with real people, real people's faces move, and their expressions can be a lot more subtle as well. And then facial production differences have also been shown, and this ties in with things that Leanne was talking about in terms of motor differences. They're not well characterized yet, but except to say that facial expressions tend to be attenuated, tend to be atypical. There's some evidence for lack of movement in certain regions of the face and asymmetries and so on. So with this intervention, we were asking two main questions. First, does facial expression production improve after intervention? But then the second question was, does recognition improve by practice with production because of the link that is being revealed between perception and production, and that recognition may include activation of motor systems? So I'll just review a little bit of that evidence pertaining to the facial expression recognition system. That there's been a body of work dating back to the 1970s suggesting that facial expression recognition seems to be not just involve perceptual areas, but involves processing involving motor systems and somatosensory and autonomic systems, as well as visual systems in a kind of feedback loop. And, you know, this starts with the facial feedback hypothesis that people started talking about in the 1970s. And that's, you know, if you move your face in the right configuration, you feel happy. It turns out your autonomic nervous system activity also gets activated into patterns that are similar to that emotion. And your EEG patterns start to get similar to that emotion. And then we find more recently there's studies. So Obermann had people controlling the movement of their face. So if you bite on a pen and then try to recognize facial expressions, so now you're tightening up your facial muscles and you're not moving your zygomatic. They were able to find differences in the ability to recognize facial expressions when interfering with the motor system in that way. And then another study, Pitcher, was a MagStim study. So they, I might have the term wrong, but they were knocking out somatosensory cortex in a particular area through MagStim, and facial expression recognition went down, was impaired when knocking out somatosensory cortex. Identity wasn't affected. And then some of my favorite are the Botox studies. There are a few Botox studies that show that when you inject Botox into the corrugator, women are less able to recognize fear in facial expressions. There also, it turns out that normally when you see an expression of fear, your amygdala will become activated, and actually their amygdala activations were attenuated as well. So those are some of the studies just showing how these systems are all so interrelated. So, and then also there are many other concepts that have been around in cognitive neuroscience for a while that this relates to. And of course, there's motor theory of speech perception, the idea that the motor system is recruited in perceptual learning of speech. That's been something that's been discussed for a long time. And then, of course, mirror neurons being neurons that respond to movement of the animal's own body part, but those same neurons will also respond when they see a conspecific moving that same body part. And there are hypotheses that this system is very important for social functioning, and that the mirror there's a mirror neuron hypothesis of autism, that mirror neurons are knocked out. This project is not trying to make a big deal out of that particular hypothesis. I'm just mentioning that that's one of the lines of thinking that's out there. And so we were asking the question, does practice deliberately mimicking facial expressions and moving and getting feedback on the accuracy of your movements, does that improve recognition? So next what I'll do is I'll give you just a quick demo of our automatic facial expression recognition system, and I'll show you what some of the intervention games were that we built using that system. So... Okay. So. So, okay. Sad. You saw that one. So the oh dear. I'll just turn that on. So the system that we developed at UCSD is called the Computer Expression Recognition Toolbox, or CERT, and that's now available and being made stronger and more robust by Emotient. And so that's the one that I showed you was the one by Emotient. And so now I'll show you some of the games that we built based on this. And many of you might have seen Face Maze, and maybe later I can show you that one. That's one of my favorites. My kids like it, and they still actually want to grab my computer and play Face Maze, and I have to tell them no. So, and then here is... See if I can make this go. There we are. Okay, this one's the emotion mirror. There it goes. All right, so in the emotion mirror, the animal is mimicking the research assistant's facial expressions. So... We actually have that. We have that going in two different directions. It mimics you. We also have you mimic it. And then when you succeed, you get more scoops of ice cream until you get the cherry and a rewarding noise. Oh, there. And then we also have multiple characters so that kids can choose a character that they feel comfortable with, whether it's an animal, a robot, or an animated human. Okay, and then this one is called Face-Face Revolution. It's like Dance Dance Revolution, except with your face. And the idea is that you have to match the facial expression as quickly as possible. So this is a screen cap of me doing it, but what's gonna happen, you're gonna see the facial expression come on, and in the webcam, you match the facial expression as fast as you can, and... I don't think you need to hear the nice music. And so the bar went up, the bar goes up when the person succeeds in matching. So I didn't get that one. Okay, so we did a pilot study to examine whether these playing these games had an effect on perception. All right, so. The experimental design was we had college students come and play the intervention games for 20 minutes, and they got an expression recognition task immediately before and immediately afterwards. And they were divided into two groups, treatment and control. The control group got a spatial task that didn't have faces. And okay, so, and I'll show that to you in a minute. First, I'll show you the recognition task. We call it RODES. I think it's recognition of dynamic facial expressions. And this task was designed to try to be very sensitive by showing very brief displays and low intensity displays. And we made these by creating morphs between a neutral face and a high intensity expression. I think these might be Radboud faces. And then we could play those morphs as a video, and we can stop them at different places. So we could stop it at just 30% morph, or 45% morph, or 60% morph. So we could control the intensity of the expression at the end. And they were we did also control for the time of the display. All right, so here's an example. This is what recognition of the 30% morphs look like. So you'll see a face and try to guess disgust, surprise, anger, or fear. It will pause for just a moment before it starts to move. That's how we controlled for the total exposure time, which I believe is 1 second. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Surprise. Disgust. Anger. Anger again. Disgust. Okay. So anyway, so it's a tough task. And okay, and then here, this shows the interventions. So the treatment intervention was to get emotion mirror. It mimics you. Sorry, you mimic it, then it mimics you. Face-face revolution. So it was 20 minutes total of playing these games. That was all. And the control was to play Sushi Cat for 20 minutes. So Sushi Cat is a spatial task, and the idea is that you, that purple furry thing is the cat, and the idea is that you drop it at the top of the screen, and you can manipulate some of these items so that, and the cat bounces off of these, and you want the cat to pass through as much sushi as possible. Okay, so we got three main results. And the first one was that improvement in recognition was correlated with movement accuracy during training. Okay, so we measured facial movement accuracy during training using the CERT, the Computer Expression Recognition Toolbox. And then we got a positive correlation between the you mimic it condition, and so you mimic it is the more socially relevant condition, or more mirroring-like condition, and got a correlation of 0.61. All right, the second main result was that a treatment effect was found, but only after we took into account motor performance during the intervention, motor control accuracy during the intervention. So what we did was we did a median split where, again, we're measuring accuracy of moving the face during the intervention using CERT, and then split them into high and low performing. And then afterwards, we're looking at visual recognition, okay? And then we did an ANCOVA and got a significant treatment effect when we split the data out that way. So here we see that. So in red, we have improvement in accuracy for the control group and the two treatment groups, the high motor performance, basically the most engaged during the intervention, the high motor performance and the low motor performance groups there. And here we've broken it down by morph level. So we gave people 15% morphs for very tough, 15, 30, 45, 60, and 75. We see we got the effect peaked at about the 45% morphs. So seems that a task that's hard but not too hard was sensitive to picking up these improvements. So recognition improvement depended on performing well in the intervention games. Does that mean that those who are already good at expression recognition get the most benefit? Does that mean that the rich get richer? No, it doesn't mean that. So we looked at the baseline test performance, and those with lower baseline were in fact more likely to improve. So recognition improvement was negatively correlated with pretest score. So in conclusion, we explored the link between perception and production of facial expressions. using a computer vision-based intervention games that give real-time feedback on facial expression during training. And so this study showed for the first time that facial movement training facilitates perceptual recognition of expressions. And the perceptual benefits were tied to intervention performance. So, and then reiterated our three main findings there. Those who move their face the most accurately during the intervention had the most visual recognition gains. There was a treatment effect when motor accuracy during training was taken into account. And then those with lower recognition baseline improved the most. So this supports the role of motor projection in perceptual learning of facial expression. And we do have a paper on this study. It's Lecture Notes in Computer Science. It's available on my webpage. Thanks.